George Silverman's Explanation by Charles Dickens. Chapter 1. It happened in this wise. Oh, but sitting with my pen in my hand, looking at those words again, without descrying any hint of them of the words that should follow, it comes into my mind that they have an abrupt appearance. They may serve, however, if I let them remain, to suggest how very difficult I find it to begin to explain my explanation. An uncouth phrase, and yet I do not see my way to a better. Chapter 2. It happened in this wise. But looking at those words and comparing them with my former opening, I find they are the self-same words repeated. This is the more surprising to me because I employ them in quite a new connection. For indeed I declare that my intention was to discard the commencement I first had in my thoughts, and to give the preference to another of an entirely different nature, dating my explanation from an anterior period of my life. I will make a third trial, without erasing this second failure, protesting that it is not my design to conceal any of my infirmities, whether they be of head or heart. Chapter 3. Not as yet directly aiming at how it came to pass, I will come upon it by degrees, the natural manner after all, for God knows this is how it came upon me. My parents were in a miserable condition of life, and my infant home was a cellar in Preston. I recollect the sound of father's Lancashire clogs on the street above as being different in my young hearing from the sound of all other clogs. And I recollect that when mother came down the cellar steps, I used tremblingly to speculate on her feet having a good or an ill-tempered look, on her knees, on her waist, until finally her face came into view and settled the question. From this it will be seen that I was timid, and that the cellar steps were steep, and that the doorway was very low. Mother had the gripe and clutch of poverty upon her face, upon her figure, and not least of all upon her voice. Her sharp and high-pitched words were squeezed out of her as by the compression of bony fingers on a leathern bag, and she had a way of rolling her eyes about and about the cellar, as she scolded, that was gaunt and hungry. Father, with his shoulders rounded, would sit quiet on a three-legged stool, looking at the empty grate, until she would pluck the stool from under him and bid him go bring some money home. Then he would dismally ascend the steps, and I, holding my ragged shirt and trousers together with a hand, my only braces, would faint and dodge from my mother's pursuing grasp at my hair. A worldly little devil was mother's usual name for me. Whether I cried for that I was in the dark, or for that it was cold, or for that I was hungry, or whether I squeezed myself into a warm corner when there was a fire, or ate voraciously when there was food, she would still say, "Oh, you worldly little devil." And the sting of it was that I quite well knew myself to be a worldly little devil. Worldly as to wanting to be housed and warmed, worldly as to wanting to be fed, worldly as to the greed with which I inwardly compared how much I got of those good things with how much father and mother got, when, rarely, those good things were going. Sometimes they both went away seeking work, and then I would be locked up in the cellar for a day or two at a time. I was at my worldliest then. Left alone, I yielded myself up to a worldly yearning for enough of anything except misery, and for both the death of mother's father, who was a machine-maker at Birmingham, and on whose decease I had heard mother say she would come into a whole court full of houses, if she had her rights. Worldly little devil, I would stand about, musingly fitting my cold bare feet into cracked bricks and crevices of the damp cellar floor, walking over my grandfather's body, so to speak, into the court full of houses, and selling them for meat and drink and clothes to wear. At last a change came down into our cellar. The universal change came down even as low as that. So will it amount to any height on which a human creature can perch, and brought other changes with it. We had a heap of I don't know what foul litter in the darkest corner, which we called the bed. For 3 days Mother lay upon it without getting up, and then began at times to laugh. If I had ever heard her laugh before, it had been so seldom that the strange sound frightened me.